Community Voices with Ron Holland. In-depth analysis, thought-provoking, and hard-hitting. Community Voices with Ron Holland. Giving you an opportunity to share what's on your mind and in your heart. Community Voices with Ron Holland on Praise 100.9 and 92.7. Charlotte's Inspiration Station.
Praise 100.9 and 92.7, Charlotte's Inspiration Station. This is Community Voices with Ron Holland, giving you an opportunity to share your thoughts, your perspective, and your views on a broad range of issues impacting your neighborhood, community, your city, our nation, and indeed our world. We have another great show for you this morning. I have my friend, my conservative friend, Henry Hollingshead, in the studio with me, and we are going to have quite an interesting discussion this morning, and I'm excited about it.
Ron, thank you very much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. There was a fiasco this week, actually for the last couple of weeks.
Oh, unbelievable.
In Washington. Can you believe the kind of nonsense that was taking place in Washington, D.C.?
What I can't believe is that Cheshire Cat grin you've got on your face over this thing. That's what I can't believe. I mean, come on, folks. You know, I have to sit here and take this humiliation. At least I don't have to look at a smiling face.
It appears, Henry, that you are well prepared. You have your notes and your newspaper. Your glasses are strategically set by the paper, and so you are prepared, huh? You're ready.
I have to be today, Mark. I'm telling you, we are backed up here. Ooh,
absolutely.
Bad day at Black Rock for me.
Yeah. Well, listen. The Senate passed the bill 81-18 to reopen the government and stave off the fiasco that would have come with a not raising the debt ceiling. And of course, the House, they voted 285-144 to end that fiasco.
Yeah, the Senate did what was correct. I think the 18 people that voted against it really need a mental enema. The people in the House that voted against it don't know what they're doing. This was the wrong fight at the wrong time at the wrong place.
Absolutely.
There was nothing that was right about this. What happened was these congressmen listened to Ted Cruz, who told them that he was going to be able to pull it off in the Senate.
But everyone knew that wasn't going to be the case.
These people didn't. In the beginning, that was the problem. They didn't. They honestly believed that 26% of this country was going to do something that the other 80% found reprehensible, which was shutting down the government.
Absolutely.
Not talking about Obamacare. I'm talking about shutting down the government. It was absolutely the wrong thing to do at the wrong time.
Now, we can agree and disagree on the Affordable Care Act.
Right.
We can do that, like adults.
Yes.
But when you threaten to shut down government, and when you actually follow through the process, literally threatening the lives of 900,000 federal workers, and the impact that would have on communities all across the country, that was amazing to me that they would even take that step.
Yeah, it really was amazing that they would take it to the brink as they did. You know, when you speak about the number of people affected by this, this is kind of interesting. What they found out was the first time through, let me just find it in my notes here. gotta find it. No, what they found, here it is. What they found out is the first time through in 1995 that 18% of the people in this country were affected by a shutdown. That means approximately 18% of the government, of the people in this country, were totally and completely reliant on money from the government.
Mm-hmm.
Today, it's 31%. Now, that is a growth in government, Ron.
Well, it might,
that is ridiculous.
It might be a growth in government, but it also indicates that there is a huge need out there. And see, we focus on numbers and we focus on deficits. And what I tend to focus on is the idea that we are our brother's keeper, that we do have a responsibility to each other, that there is a social contract that we ought to adhere to, and that we need to be able to find common ground. If the deficits are running rampant,
we ought to be able to come to the table and say, we understand that, you know, we have huge deficits, but how can we figure out how to maintain that social contract and at the same time bring down our deficits without vilifying each other? And what we've seen from the Tea Party and the fringe group on the right is a vilification of government and a vilification of President Obama, totally unjustified in my judgment.
You're right as far as you go. The only problem is you're not looking at the other side. The left is as just as bad vilifying
the
right.
Well, I'm on the left. You think I'm going to vilify myself?
No, but what I'm saying is that the left is just as bad, if not worse, because they've got MSNBC, and those people are truly. Last night, I mean, come on. We're bringing bombs into the Senate. We're going to blow up the government. We want to kill people. I mean, come on. Well, I mean, let's keep this on a level of sanity.
Well, my only problem is when you bring a Confederate flag and the other symbols of slavery and the other symbols of the division that's in our country, and there are people who are unhinged in this country who are willing to blow down the White House. There are people who are willing and who have made threats to President Obama and officials on the left. There are individuals who have nothing but deep-seated hatred in their heart. And so there is some cautiousness. There is some trepidation about individuals expressing those kinds of ideological
perspectives. You honestly think that all of the...
Yes,
everything is coming from the left, from the
from
right.
The right.
Are you kidding me? You ever hear of Stokely Carmichael? You ever hear of A-Trap Brown?
Oh, no, so you got to go to you have to go to the 60s.
Okay,
we're not talking about this. This is 2013. We're not talking about the 60s
when you ever there was Al Sharpton.
When there was a just. Al Sharpton is my hero. But there was
a. What's her name? Jackson.
Well, listen.
In the Congress. I mean, come on.
Come
These
on
people
what?
Are nuts.
They are not nuts. These are individuals who have an expressed concern about the poverty in this country, about the inequality in this country. They have an expressed concern, and we send them to Congress to fight on behalf of individuals who are in need, who are suffering from whatever ailments that are plaguing their bodies and their health.
Ron. They're not doing you any good.
But that's your
problem.
That's your perspective.
No, listen. If you're spending all this money, look, no one is saying, look, we lost. You're going to have health care. But the thing is your administration of this thing is an absolute joke. It is not working. Look, anytime a bill is passed, when the head of the party says, don't read the bill, just pass it, and we'll get away from the fog of what's in it. This is what Nancy Pelosi said on health care. Now we're getting into the bill, and we find all these mistakes. Here's one on the cover of the Charlotte Observer. Mm-hmm. Affordable care, not for the poorest. It explains how the whole thing was screwed up when they wrote the bill. What the problem is, Ron, is that the administration of this thing is an absolute joke.
Well, see,
you're spending billions and getting nothing for it. Seriously, if this was a business, if you were a CEO of a business and your business was to get people signed up on health care and you were working with a bill that has never been written through a Congress that has no money to pay for it, put together by administration and run by people who have no concept of what they're doing, and you think this is a good idea, look, all we're asking is put the thing on the back burner for a year. Let's think it out. Let's think it out and wait until we get some reasonable people in Congress, then we can defund this thing. But let's think it out. You cannot convince me any way, shape, or form that the money that is spent up to now has been worth the return that they have gotten. And the argument is, oh, yeah, well, it's just starting out and this and that and the other thing.
I've given you a few minutes to rant. Now, let's bring some sanity back to the conversation. You are making a judgment on individuals who really tout the idea that, yes, this is a program that has just launched, and this is a program that has a huge responsibility in terms of enrolling 35 million people, there are going to be kinks in the program. There are going to be some problems initially, but those problems are going to be ironed out. In fact, when you look at Kentucky or when you look at California and their involvement in the program, what we're seeing are some very, very good results as in terms of enrollment and in terms of people's interest. There has been overwhelming interest in this. And even if there is glitches in the system, those glitches are going to be worked out, Henry. In fact, let's look at some of the, because you keep rattling off anecdotal problems in here. Well, we have
anecdotal
anecdotal information as well. Okay. Since the Affordable Care Act was signed 3 years ago, more than 370 innovative medical practices called accountable care organizations have sprung up across the country, with 150 more in the works. At these centers, Medicare or private insurers reward doctors financially when their patients require fewer hospital stays, emergency room visits, and surgeries. Exactly the opposite of what doctors have been traditionally paid to do. The more money the organization saves, the more money its participating providers share. In essence, what I'm saying, Henry, is yes, there are going to be glitches, but at the same time, there are going to be success stories. And what we are not seeing from the right are the success stories. They're harping on the problems, but they are not willing to come together to iron out the problems, and that's the issue with me.
Ron, let me ask you a question. Have you gotten health care?
I do have health care, and I'm glad you mentioned. Here's something interesting.
Okay.
So you have millions of people who are overwhelmingly interested in this process. So
right.
They've been logging on to healthcare.gov and all of those. But what is conveniently not mentioned are the thousands of companies that have set up their own websites for their own employees to get into the system, and we have not seen not one bug arise from that particular position. And so the point is, with my family alone, we are bound to save as a result of Obamacare because of the exchange that my wife's company is participating in. I am not losing health care, and we are having a savings. And that is just one anecdotal, but we can talk about countless other stories that are not filtering through the media, particularly right-wing blogs.
I'm glad you got health care.
Yeah.
I really am. No, seriously.
Well, that's the point.
Yeah,
we want to give health care to individuals who do not have it.
If
that is a moral responsibility of this country, Henry.
And I feel that some businesses obviously have stepped up.
And some have not.
And some are throwing people off the payrolls. Some are cutting down to the number of people. We're throwing people out of work. It is a bad situation because people are trying to get down to the numbers. They're trying to cut people with time. My son worked at a very large restaurant chain, high-end restaurant chain. Don't want to say the name because it's going to be a disparaging story. They have gone through, and any waiter that has been an extremely good waiter that has been worked 40 hours a week in the past, they're firing them. They're clearing them out so they can't come back and say, I had too many hours, you have to give me health care. They're cutting everyone back to 30 hours, and they're only hiring the worst servers because they can't get the best servers to work under these conditions.
Well, let's put some facts on this.
Let's
put some facts on, but your accusation suggests that this is a widespread problem.
It is a widespread problem.
Well, let's look at it this way. This is coming from CNN Money. CNN Money has heard anecdotal stories from small business owners that health care reform is causing them to give employees fewer hours. Let me finish.
Major company.
Let me finish.
Okay.
But there's also reason to believe the job-killing criticism is overblown. As of 2010, 97% of small businesses had fewer than 50 employees, according to the U.S. Census. That means Obamacare employer mandate applies to only 3% of America's small businesses. Of companies with more than 50 workers, 96% already offer health care plans, the government data shows. The ADP job reports, one of the largest reports on private employers, shows that small businesses are still hiring strong. So you can have a perspective, but you can't have your own facts, Henry. And so this is not coming from the Obama administration. We're talking about independent analysis of these reports. And that's what I rely on. I do not adhere or rely on the Fox News echo chamber or right-wing blogs. And that is the problem. That's why we can't get anything solved in this country. It becomes a situation of ideological.
Ideological.
This is ideological. But that's and so that's my problem.
Yeah.
And so you let's play a clip. You know, because I want you to hear
a clip. Yeah, we gotta have a clip.
Yeah, from your friend. Ted Cruz.
Next week, bring in the Nancy Pelosi tape where she says, "Don't even read the bill."
Let's give a listen to Ted Cruz as he responds to the Senate's passage.
Again with this thing? Oh, come on.
Mr. President, I rise today in opposition to the deal that the Senate is getting ready to vote on. This is a terrible deal. This deal embodies everything about the Washington establishment that frustrates the American people. This deal kicks the can down the road. It allows yet more debt, more deficits, more spending, and it does absolutely nothing to provide relief for the millions of Americans who are hurting because of Obamacare. To all the young people right now coming out of school who can't find a job because of Obamacare, this deal does nothing for them. To all of the single moms who are struggling and being forced into part-time work, trying to feed their kids on 29 hours a week because of Obamacare, this deal does nothing for them. To all of the hardworking families who are right now getting massive premium increases from their health insurance companies and trying to figure out how they're going to make ends meet with health insurance going up 100, 200, 300% because of Obamacare, this deal does nothing for them.
All right. Now let me ask one question here, if I could. Do you believe AP?
Yeah, I don't
have. Do you
have
a problem with AP?
No, the Associated Press.
Yeah, right, the Associated Press. I mean, you trashed Fox, you've trashed everything. I'm just asking, do you have a problem with the Wall Street Journal or AP?
No, I don't have a problem with any of those.
Okay, AP. According to AP, they said that less than 7% of the people that are getting on to look at, that can get through on the exchanges to look and see if they can afford the health care, to see if they can come into these budgets and the deficits and everything else, less than 7% are signing up of the people that look. There is absolutely, if this was a big winner, you and I both know the Obama administration were to come out with some numbers.
Okay,
this idea of keeping these numbers quiet, is ridiculous. They have to come out with some numbers. And
okay.
AP says this thing is a joke. Well, Wall Street Journal also reported that they said that this whole Forbes. Do you believe Forbes?
Just go ahead with your statement.
All right. He said that the reason this thing was so screwed up in the beginning is that they wanted it that way because people, when they would look at the deductibles, would freak. They'd go crazy. Ron, let me ask you this. What's your deductible?
I am not going to talk about that. My deductible.
Okay,
let me just say this because you are saying something interesting, but it is also grounded in a fallacy. Here's the point, Henry. When you consider you said 7%,
less than 7%.
First of all, the enrollment period is from October 1st to March 31st. So there's a huge enrollment period.
But let me finish.
With regard to my own family's circumstance, we have an ability right now to look at five different companies. That is our options. Right. And as a response, responsible person, as a responsible husband, and my wife as a responsible wife and mother, we are going to mull over our decision. I am not the kind of individual, and I would venture to guess that many people are not the kind of people that would just sign on a dotted line just by seeing one piece of information. What we're going to do until our enrollment period comes to a conclusion is that we're going to make a cogent, responsible decision about our health care needs. That is what responsible people do, Henry.
So you don't have it now?
Don't have what now?
Healthcare.
We have healthcare now, but because
you're gonna change it?
Because the exchange is opened up to us, okay. Now we have more options.
Okay.
Do we continue with my wife's company's program, or do we choose some other program?
Okay.
That is our option. And the magical thing about it is if we have an opportunity to choose another program, my wife's employer will still participate and provide some funds for her healthcare insurance.
So in other words, with your healthcare, you're figuring on, instead of ready, shoot, aim, ready, aim.
No.
You think the American public's going to do that?
No. What I am suggesting is that responsible people won't sign up for anything immediately. Responsible people will take the time to understand what their family needs are. That's the bottom line for me.
I'm suggesting when people look at the price, they think that maybe they can get a subsidy, maybe they can get this, maybe they can get that, maybe it can get worked out. Yeah, it doesn't look bad, and then they see the deductible, and they're done.
Well,
they're
but Henry,
a $15,000 deductible.
Well, Henry, you have to have a listen. Here's
$6,500 deductibles.
But here's the choice: either you don't have health coverage, or you do. There's a responsibility here because what we've seen thus far, up until this point, is people going to the emergency room and costing taxpayers billions of dollars because they don't have health care insurance. And what I am suggesting to you is I'd rather have a choice in the matter. If I, on the lower end, if I'm not paying a high cost initially each month, and then obviously because of my health, I'm, maybe there is an issue where I don't need the premiums to be so low because I am a healthy individual. So in the interim, if I do get hurt, at the very least, I know I have health coverage. Now, I may be responsible for that premium, but if there is a major catastrophe, major health catastrophe, that I at least know that it's going to be covered. So
it's not going to be covered.
It is going. There is no cap on
$6,000 deductible.
There's no cap on coverage, Henry. That is so. Here's the deal. There is. Let's just say there's a $15,000 premium or deductible that a person has to meet as a result of signing up for a particular program.
Okay.
Let me finish.
Let's say it.
So we know that it's $15,000.
Right.
But we understand that because of some catastrophic event, that the cost to cover that catastrophic event is through $300,000-$500,000. So I'd rather have a situation where I'm only obligated to pay $15,000, but the other cost is going to be paid for. That is the choice that the American people have. And so that's the bottom line.
Here's the choice that the American people have when that happens. Either you take bankruptcy for $100,000, or you take bankruptcy for $15,000 and save yourself $135 a month.
Well, that doesn't make sense, primarily because the whole system is set up to avoid those kinds of situations.
Well, I'll tell you what. You go into the south side of Chicago. You go into the south side, the burial, and you talk to these guys and you ask them, tell you what, next time you get shot, how about if you have health care? Send us $135 a month and we'll only send you a $6,000 bill when you get shot. Come on. They're not paying the bill first.
Okay.
They're not paying the bill and they're not paying the health insurance. All you're doing is moving the cost of this whole thing to us.
To who?
To the payer.
Well, see,
to the payer.
See, here's where you're wrong. The bottom line is the individuals who are paying into the system. This is a system that's set up for individuals to pay for their own health care. This is a Republican perspective until President Obama adopted the idea. We're talking about signing up individuals, making them responsible for their own health care. They have to pay into the system. This is nothing that they're getting for free, Henry. What are you talking about?
If you're telling me that if you're on welfare, you're going to pay for health care.
I'm not talking about welfare.
Wait a minute. People on welfare, are they going to pay for
they
healthcare?
They are. The people who are in that income...
How about the people on unemployment?
Let me finish. The people that are in those income brackets are receiving Medicare. They are qualifying for Medicare. We're talking about 33 million people who right now who are part of the working class who don't have affordable healthcare. They are going to be made responsible for paying for their own healthcare. That is a Republican idea, a conservative idea, making people responsible for paying for what they need. That's the point here, Henry.
They're not going to pay.
You don't know that.
How are you going to tell me? Oh, come on. Yes, I'm going to tell I will tell you for a fact that people on welfare...
Wait a minute. We're not talking about people on welfare.
Let me finish.
I'm not going to let you finish until you have a rational perspective on this. It's not rational. I just told you, the folks who qualify for Medicare are the individuals who are receiving welfare. So those individuals are already being taken care of. The system is set up for individuals who are already working, those part-time workers, those people
people already set up. Are you now saying that the people that are set up, okay, you said all the people on welfare, they're all set up for this thing.
I said the people who are on welfare or who are on unemployment, those are the people that will qualify for subsidies.
How much will they have to pay? Anything?
They're being subsidized. I don't know the figure.
Okay, here's the problem, Ron. Here's the problem. This is the problem. We're going to take cash flow out of the system. We're taking cash flow out of the system, and the system doesn't have the cash flow to do it. This is the problem. We're giving everybody another taxable bill. That's all it is. Look, how it breaks down is this. You get a tax. If you get hurt, you get a $6,000 tax. That's the way it is.
And
that's not going to work, Ron.
Okay.
They're sucking too much money out of the economy put this together.
Okay, our yelling session is over. We are coming to a close. This happens very quickly. I will end on this. My understanding of the Affordable Care Act is the savings that are, at least according to the Congressional Budget Office, it's going to save us billions of dollars, number one. Number two, we are talking about not giving people health care, not giving away anything. We're talking about people paying into a system because anything that they sign up for, when they go into the exchange, Henry, they are signing up for a program that they will have to put money into themselves. Now, yes, the government will be subsidizing individuals at a certain income bracket, but for the most part, individuals who do not have health care, when they sign on the dotted line for whatever coverage they are seeking, those individuals will have to make some payment into the system. And that is the Affordable Care Act.
And it's not going to work because you're pulling so much cash flow out of the system. The federal deficit right now in 2013 is 73% of GDP. This is according to the CBO, the budget office. In 2038, if it goes like it's going right now, it's going to be 190% of GDP.
Okay, well, we have to close the show, but I will end on this. Henry, there is a moral obligation on the part of every American citizen in this country, and I'd rather pay another $10, $15, $20 out of my check to make sure that the individual who does not have health care, that they are covered. There should not be a situation where we're the largest, most economically viable country in the world, and we can't figure out a way to make sure that people are not starving. We can't make sure that people are not running around here without coverage. That is immoral to suggest that you're going to worry about money and not worry about the individual who might be sick in the bed dying from whatever disease. We as a country need to come up with a system where we are taking care of each other. That is our collective responsibility. We got to go. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'll wrap up the show. This is Community Voices with Ron Holland on Praise 100.9 and 92.7, Charlotte's Inspiration Station.
Praise 100.9 and 92.7, Charlotte's Inspiration Station. I'd like to again thank my conservative friend Henry Hollingshead for coming in this morning to have a robust discussion about the political and social issues impacting our country. This is Community Voices with Ron Holland. If you have any comments on today's show, please send me an email, ronholland@radio-1.com or ronholland25@yahoo.com. I also invite you to visit my blog for some insightful and provocative commentary. www.ronhollandsblogspot.com. Thank you so much for tuning in to this week's Community Voices. I'm Ron Holland. We'll talk with you next week.